15 is great. It has blood. It has gore. There's war. But if I tried to preach that, fellas, I would get murdered. So you better turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll get back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, Lord willing, in the days to come. But you cannot promise to preach on understanding your wife and preach on David and Goliath. Unless you want to be an object lesson as far as the stone and the sling are concerned. You know, I heard tell of a fellow that found one of those old oil lamps and began to rub it clean. And sure enough, as most stories do, the genie comes out and he offers the fellow one wish. And whatever he wished, he would grant it. And he says, "You know, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid to fly." He said, "My wish is simply this, that you would make a highway that goes all the way from California to Hawaii, and I could drive and I could go see Hawaii." And the genie looks at him and he says, "That's ridiculous. It takes so much material. Listen, you don't even understand the bureaucratic red tape that I would have to go through. And just to be able to do that is a near impossibility." He said, "You're going to have to pick some other wish." Well, the man was a little disgruntled, but he began to think. And he said, "You know, I've been married for 25 years. I have a daughter. I have some granddaughters, but especially my wife. I believe that my wish will be this, that I could understand women. Going on from this day forward, that I could truly understand my wife." And the genie said, "Listen, I've got one question before I grant your wish. Do you want two lanes or four?" I take some comfort in the fact that I know that I don't understand women, but the fact that I know that no man understands women, that I can take some comfort and solace in that. And it goes a step further. The truth of the matter is, a lot of women don't understand women, right? They are a peculiar breed, if I could. But in order for us to understand what a wife's greatest need is, we need look no further than Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25. Let's look at that together. It simply says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies." Isn't that interesting? That he says, if you really want to meet the need of your wife, you love her as though you love yourself. Because let me tell you something, fellas, there is no shortage of self-love in our generation today. I mean, it sounds easy, right? Husbands, love your wives. But if it were that easy, I could read the verse and we could go home and close up shop and live in marital bliss and be done. But that's really not what it boils down to, is it? Some men have the idea that this loving of their wives is maybe like love that they have for their favorite sport, or maybe for their favorite food. Listen, fellas, I'm just going to give you a little help. And if you're not married, this is going to be a great help to you. Don't try to love your wife like you love football or steak, all right? That's not going to be healthy for your relationship, and it's a wrong understanding of the type of love that God commands us to love our wives with. And so in order for us as men to understand how God wants us to meet that need in her life, we're going to have to first understand how it is that Christ loved the church. If the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives," and that was the end of it, we could come up with all sorts of things. But he finishes with the idea that it is the same way that we are to love our wives as that Christ loved his church. That's impossible in our flesh. But just the same as it is impossible for a woman to submit to her husband without being filled with the Spirit, it is impossible for men to rightly love their husbands outside of walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. It is not a natural love, but a supernatural love that we are called to love our wives with. You know, there are several different types of love found in the Bible. There's a brotherly love, a familial love, a physical love. But the word that is used here is used overwhelmingly by God to show His love to His creation, His world. You know, one thing is true of every other kind of love, and whether that you're talking about football, but I'm really talking about that brotherly love or even familial love or a physical love, they all depend upon reciprocation. But this agape love that God has loved mankind with and is the same that man is to love his wife with is a love that is an act of the will. It is volitional. It is not based upon emotion. It is not based upon feelings. It is based upon an act of your will. Now, isn't it great when your will and your emotions line up and they're going in the same direction? Praise the Lord for that. But agape love is the only type of love that needs no reciprocation. You know, if you have a friend and they live at some distance, sometimes that distance you don't have the relationship and the back and forth, and maybe you've sent 20 letters and you've only gotten one back. What's going to happen? You say, listen, I'm not writing again until they write. You say, what's a letter? Okay, let me say email or something, all right? They Facebook, I don't even know how Facebook works, but you Facebook somebody and they didn't like it. I don't know. But what I'm saying is there has to be some kind of reciprocation on that, or that relationship begins to wither and will eventually wilt and die. But aren't you glad that God's love for us starts this way? We love Him because He first loved us. He does not say that in order for Him to love us, we must love Him. Let me tell you, that's the same kind of love that God is looking for husbands to love their wives with. A love that does not need to be reciprocated. It is an act of the will. It is a decision that a husband makes. I think I've shared this illustration before, but Lee Robertson one time was asked, why is it that you love your wife? Or perhaps I think it was that she asked him, honey, why do you love me? And he said, love, I love you because I'm commanded to. Now that's not very romantic, but I will tell you this, it's very spiritual. And if you love your wife because you're commanded to, because it's an act of the will, it's amazing how the emotions will follow. But if you wait for your emotions to take the lead, let me tell you, your will may never get engaged. This agape love, while it does not require reciprocation, and it's an act of our will that leads us to love our wives the way that God intends, regardless of their response. You know, I read of a prominent Bible speaker. Actually, I knew one man in West Virginia whose wife got Alzheimer's. That is a terrible, terrible disease. And let me tell you, early on in my ministry, I would have been tempted to make jokes about Alzheimer's. But I'll just tell you this. It is a disease that steals the mind and the memories and the heart and the person. It is a tragedy to watch somebody go through a disease like Alzheimer's. But this man that I knew had a very prominent position, and he stepped down from that, and he would travel a little bit to preach and fill some pulpits, but eventually his wife could not even travel, and so he came out of the preaching circuit altogether to take care of his wife. And despite her not even knowing him, toward the end of that dreaded disease, he continued to take care of her, to put her at ease with his presence, even though she had nothing left to offer the relationship. He had made a vow before God to love his wife unconditionally till death do them part. Men, that is the type of love that your wives need to know that you have for them. This kind of non-reciprocal love has some other defining characteristics. Not only is it an act of our will, not only is it volitional, that is, it is sacrificial. The evidence of your love, husbands, is the same as Christ's is for the church. It is your sacrifice. Christ sacrificed everything to come down from the glory of heaven. I want you to think about that for just a moment. We think about Christmas and we think about the babe in the manger, but I want you to understand what He left behind, the very glories of heaven, to be seated at the right hand of the throne of God is no small thing. And to leave that in order to be born in a manger, knowing ultimately what the end of his life is going to bring, let me tell you, that is true sacrifice. So let me tell you this, fellas. Giving up a Saturday morning to not go chase a ball around is not sacrifice. Giving up a day of hunting to spend time with your wife, that is not sacrifice. Listen, leaving the throne of glory to become a sacrifice and the forgiveness of sins, that is what true sacrifice is. And there may be a time in your marriage where you are called to sacrifice, whether it's your career, whether it's perhaps your life. Your wife needs to know that you love her in that way. King David wanted to honor God for his goodness. So he went to offer a sacrifice to him. And someone offered to give him everything that he needed, right, for that act of devotion. But you know what happened? The king wisely refused to take those things from that man. And he said in 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." Listen, the king knew that it was no love at all if there was no cost involved. And a wise husband will come to the same conclusion. The greatest evidence of love is not what you feel or what you get from another. It is what you give. Dare I say, it's not even what you give, it is what you sacrifice for someone else. And so if there is a time in your marriage that you are called upon to sacrifice for your wife, you ought to jump at the opportunity to demonstrate your love to her. Giving up a hobby should not be considered a sacrifice to spend time with your wife. By the way, this is a little hot button of mine. Watching your children is not a sacrifice. You're not babysitting. Those are your children. All right? And so if you have never allowed your wife to get out of the house without bringing the children with her, there's a problem there. If she can't even get out to run an errand or go to a ladies' meeting or whatever, I had some other things I was going to say, but I think I'll bite my tongue. Let me just say, they are your children. And you are simply being a father. But I digress. Let me give you another aspect of agape love that God commands us to love our wives with. Not only is it an act of our will and demand sacrifice, it necessitates closeness. It necessitates closeness. Husbands, I don't understand it, but your wife wants to be close to you. Let that sink in. It's no coincidence that very early in our Bible, describing that first marriage, we as men are commanded to leave our father and mother and cleave unto our wife. You know what that means? It means, fellas, that it's time to cut the apron strings and then go and have a new family unit. I can't think of who it was, but I remember one newlywed couple that I knew moved in right next door to their parents, and they were eating dinner at mom and dad's throughout the week. You're going to have to remind me who that is later, but that is absolutely insane. That leave and cleave is the idea, but it's not, the cleave has nothing to do with chopping meat. It's not a meat cleaver, all right? It's the exact opposite. It carries the idea of clinging to or holding on to, and it could even carry the idea of being face to face. And that's what she needs from you. She needs to connect with you on a daily basis. For you to cleave, to be near her, to connect with her on a daily basis. I'm not talking about physically, necessarily, but I am talking about emotionally and spiritually. You see, fellas, when you get home, she's going to move towards you. And I'm not talking about physically walking towards you. I'm talking about she wants to move towards you emotionally and even spiritually. She wants to connect with you. She wants to know how your day went, to understand what life is like for you outside of the four walls and the four children she's been dealing with all day. And even if she has no children, she still wants to know about your life. She wants someone that will listen to her and the struggles that she's had during the day. By the way, she wants you to hear those things without you trying to fix them. I think I get to this later, but I better mention it now in case I lose track. There are times where she's going to come to you looking for answers. And fellas, I'll take some constructive criticism later, but I don't know how to tell the difference still yet today. And so when my wife tells me something, I will ask her from time to time, am I just listening or am I listening with the intent to fix? All right? And there's a difference. And sometimes she just needs to voice it. But there are some times where she says, I don't know what to do. What do you think about this? And so there is a difference. But there is still an intent to listen with the intent to understand. Your wife needs to connect with you. But let me tell you something that blunts that connection. One word. Answers. Honey, how was your day? Good. Did anything happen today? No. Maybe you try to shake things up and answer, great, thanks. Let me tell you, your wife does not feel loved when you're not willing to be close to her emotionally. You say, oh, you're telling me to get in touch with my feelings. No, I'm telling you to get in touch with your wife's feelings because that's what we're called to do. It's been said that man speaks about 10,000 words a day and a woman speaks about 20,000 words a day. And that means that as a man is finishing work and going home, he has exhausted his 10,000 words for the day and the wife probably has only used half of hers, right? If you're going to truly love your wife the way that God has intended, you're going to have to open up and let her in. Think about your prayer life with God. Would you want God as involved in answering your prayers and listening to your cries of desperation the way that you listen to your wife and respond to her? I recommend something called couch time when you get home. Take a few minutes. Perhaps it's actually in the living room on the couch. It could be in the kitchen. It could just be some time alone somewhere where you can just sit and talk and allow your wife to know that your attention is completely devoted to her. It might only be 15 minutes, but it's a time where she knows that she's going to have your complete, undivided attention. The truth of the matter is you say, what are we going to talk about for 15 minutes? All you have to do is, if your wife is like most, you'll not have to carry the conversation. But what you will have to do is stay engaged and keep your attention focused on her. You can't start thinking about tomorrow's to-do list and saying, listen, we've got 13 minutes left of this. That is the wrong heart's attitude. And if it is just something that you're checking off, your wife is going to know that. That's not agape love. You need to learn how to open up and allow her to connect with you. And if there is a specific time where she knows she's going to have your attention, you know, she can look forward to that and be able to communicate with her. If she feels the freedom in that conversation, she may even share some problems that she's struggling with. And then you'll have the chance, if you will, to help her and lead her through those. But I'll tell you this, no woman is going to allow herself to be vulnerable to a man that is not willing to be close with her anywhere outside of the bedroom. And so there are some times that a woman simply needs to express her feelings, and she's not looking for an answer. She just wants to know that you know how she feels. I'm still learning that. And I'm not standing up here saying I've arrived and I understand, but I do understand the need of a woman to connect and be close to her husband. Aren't you glad that we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities? You know what that means? He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, as we are, yet without sin. I'm thankful for a Savior that knows how I feel. And let me tell you something, if we are to love our wives the same way that Christ loved the church, we're going to have to be interested in how our wives feel. By the way, if we love our wives as Christ loves the church, and we're willing to understand their feelings, you understand, in this area, God considers it so important that we love our wives in this way that he has told and threatened men that if you don't love your wives the way that I am commanding you, your relationship with me is going to be affected. You say, where do you see that? 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Understand them. Understand how they feel. Understand their need to be understood. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, listen, that your prayers be not hindered. Not only is agape love an act of the will and demands sacrifice and necessitates closeness, and it requires devotion. Your wife needs to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your eyes, your heart, and your desire is only for her. That means you don't go shopping for eye candy at Walmart. That means you understand that any kind of sensual images are a relationship destroyer. You are more than likely, you are more than likely the one who asked your wife to be your bride. I hope that's the case. You were not under duress at the time, we hope. But at one time in your life, you thought that you could not live without that woman. And if you thought there was any chance you could have, you didn't want to take the chance to find out. So you pursued her. Everything else went by the wayside, and your attention was focused on her and her alone. Now listen, I don't know, maybe some of you guys had your wives just chasing after you. I don't know. I had to work hard to get a wife. Boy, I'm glad I did. But you made her feel like she was the only one in the world that could garner your attention. That is the kind of devotion your wife needs to feel secure. Aren't you glad that God has saved you as an individual? That when you pray, God hears it, and he loves you, and you know that when you're talking to them in the throne room of grace, well, God is omnipotent, but we know that as we're talking to him, we have his attention. We have his focus, if you will. And that is the way that we are to love our wives. That's the kind of devotion that you need to have all over again for your wife. You know, the truth of the matter is your wife may not look the same as when you got married. It may be, very well may be that she's had a child or more. My question to you fellas is, what's your excuse? But can I tell you this? Your wife should be the bar. Your wife should be the benchmark of what beautiful is to you. And as you age and she ages, she is still the apple of your eye, and she is the mark of what beauty is. Job understood that connection. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm going to focus my eyes on that which is right, my wife. How many times are we reassured of God's love and his word? Over and over and over and over again. Your wife needs to be reassured of your love for her. How many men have ever had their wives ask them, "Do you love me?" Now listen, I don't care if you've been married 6 months, 6 years, or 60 years. If your wife asks that, I'm going to fill you in, fellas. She's not looking for information. Yes, honey. You know, what's that old joke that said, "Listen, I told you I loved you at our wedding, and if things change, I'll let you know." It's terrible. That's terrible. Your wife isn't looking for information. What she's looking for is reassurance. And you say, "Yes, honey, of course I love you." What is going to be her next response? Don't think she's going to say, "Oh, good, I'm glad." Silly, silly men. She's going to say, "Why? Why do you love me?" And you know what she's saying, fellas? She's not saying, "Give a list of the things that I do." She wants to be validated as a person and an object of your love. Listen, we don't really sit there and question God about his love for us because he's told us over and over and over again. You need to vocalize to your wife your love for her. A wise husband will give her the reassurance she needs and not withhold it. A husband that continually withholds this love and acceptance from his life will cause her to withdraw from him. And the relationship will cause her to withdraw, and it could even cause her to look for that acceptance and that love somewhere else. And again, the same as I said this morning, it is never someone else's fault when somebody goes outside of the marriage boundary to look for that love. But I can tell you, as husbands, we need to make it as easy as possible for our wives to know that we love them. This agape love is an act of the will. It's volitional. It does not require reciprocation. But just as I said this morning, and I think this bears repeating because of the importance of our responsibilities. You know, the wives maybe are in here saying, "Yes, fellas, are you listening?" Just like the guys were saying that this morning. But when we have that mentality, we have it so backwards. We say, and we ought to say, "Oh God, what is my, not right, but what is my responsibility to my spouse?" You see, one of the purposes that we have in marriage is to minister to our spouse. And if our whole idea of marriage is how can I be ministered to, how can I have my needs met, you're going to have a terrible, terrible marriage. But if you will live a life of meeting the needs of your spouse, men, two things happen. You say, this sounds very, very vaguely familiar from this morning. The first thing is this: you have a sense of satisfaction in knowing that you are living an obedient life to Christ. That is a great life satisfaction. But the miraculous thing is, when you love your wives the way that God has commanded, she will respond to that love. And your relationship will grow and be deeper and more fulfilling and more meaningful. Now listen, if you do it for the wrong motive, she's going to know that. But if you will love her simply the way that God has said to, she will respond. We had a woman start coming to our church by herself some time ago. I asked her and her husband if I could share their story, and they gave me permission. Her story is one of heartache and of pain. Her marriage had disintegrated. Her children were now living outside of the house, and her children, or her husband, had left her. She was left alone to sell her house and all the belongings and take care of everything herself. Ultimately, she moved to a little town called Shelby, North Carolina, to start life over. But when she got here, she found out that she had cancer. She had surgery, but it did not go well for her. She began an intensive round, several rounds of chemotherapy. And in this downward cycle of her life, it was punctuated by her hair falling out. Now, fellas, some of you may experience that in your life. But for a woman, that is absolutely devastating. She had lost her husband, her hair, and her happiness. In the midst of this deep valley, she received a call from her husband. The first real conversation she had had with him in almost 9 months. He missed her and wanted to know if they could talk. I remember talking with her and my wife in our living room. I could tell all the pain that he had caused her. All of the loneliness was just under the surface. And I don't think she really wanted to reconcile. But because of her Christian upbringing, she didn't want the divorce to be her fault and on her conscience. So she said they could talk. Missy and I offered to do some marriage counseling if he would be willing. He was living 3 hours away, and he'd have to come all that way down in order to take part in the counseling. And so he did. Every week, or at the least several times a month, he would travel down to Shelby, those 3 hours, meet for counseling for a couple of hours, and then drive back and go to work the next day. Both of them began learning the truths about biblical marriage and the roles that God has designed for husbands and wives to fulfill in their marriage. And they began to slowly incorporate these truths into their marriage. It was so funny. When they first came to my office, they sat down on the couch in my office, and one sat on this side of the couch, and the other one sat on this side of the couch. There was enough middle ground there to have another two or three people. And then after several weeks, he forgot his Bible. So he sat close enough to share hers. And you could see that the ice was slowly beginning to thaw, ever so slowly. But God was at work as well. As they began to incorporate these truths into their life, her car broke down, and she needed a ride to counseling. And so he would begin to give her rides from week to week. I remember giving them homework that made them talk on the phone, sending them on dates, and seeing the grace of God working in their lives and in their marriage. And I can remember a day that saw the husband asking his wife to forgive him for abandoning her, making her go through the biggest struggle of her life, this thing called cancer, alone. And he continued to simply pour out his life and his heart out to her. And that woman, looking at him, tears streaming down her face, tears streaming down all of our faces, as she says, "I forgive you." They'd been separated for nearly a year up to this point, and she had gone through the valley of despair, living with her sister-in-law with no family, an unfamiliar town. But I share this story to remind you that when they both decided to follow God's design for marriage, he blessed that union. And the flame that had died years ago began to be rekindled. Her cancer treatment eventually was over. She regained her health. You know what else she regained? More importantly than her hair, was she regained her husband and a renewed relationship with her Savior. I can tell you this, after 25 years of marriage, he didn't just decide to walk out one day. They had stopped loving and respecting each other. The communication had completely broken down a decade before he finally finalized it by getting up and walking out. I don't know where you are in your marriage, but I'll tell you this, it takes a tremendous amount of work to have a fulfilling marriage. Men are filled with self-love. We want what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. But if we will love instead our wives the way that God has commanded us to in that sacrificial, devotional, with our focus on them, connecting with them, I can tell you that it makes it a whole lot easier for her to submit to you, husbands. It's time that we quit demanding that our needs get met and decide to meet the greatest needs of our wives and of our husbands. I'll tell you this as I close. I have never yet found a couple that is heading to divorce court when they are living actively the design that God has given to us for husbands and for wives. Ephesians 5:33 closes this passage with these words. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. It's completely against our natural tendencies. But if we will walk in the Spirit and we will obey the command of Scripture, we will have a marriage that truly allows us to live happily ever after. But it's only by God's design. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that you've given us responsibilities and not rights. We know that rights breeds rebellion. But Lord, responsibility lends itself to obedience then. Father, I pray that as we look at our marriages, that we would, in one sense, not be satisfied with where it is, but look to where it could be if we would put in the effort and the work and the labor of love that you have called us to love our wives with. Listen, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one's looking around. Absolutely no one's looking around. But men, I'd like to ask you this question. I don't have to ask, do you love yourself? I know the answer to that. But my question is this. Are you loving your wife the way that God intends you to, with that agape, sacrificial, devotional, non-reciprocating love? Not loving her because you can get something back in return, but loving her because God has commanded you to love her. You'd say, Pastor, I can look at my marriage and realize that I am a very selfish man and I need to begin loving my wife the way that God has commanded. Listen, if that's you tonight, would you let me pray for you? Would you just put your hand up? You say, that's a pretty narrow invitation. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Man, I don't want you to try to sneak out of the conviction of the Holy Spirit by broadening the invitation to include anyone that's ever been married. I praise God for men that are walking in the Spirit and loving their wives and investing their lives in the relationship. But maybe you're here today and your marriage isn't what it could be or even what it should be because you're not loving your wife the way that she intends, or excuse me, the way that God intends. You'd say, Pastor, pray for me. Is there anyone else? Just put your hand up and put it right back down. Yes. Listen, I'm going to encourage you men today to make a decision, to make a commitment, not to your wife, but to your God, to begin loving your spouse the way God has intended. Father, I thank you for working in hearts and lives this evening. And I pray, Lord, that as we sing a song of invitation, that you would help these men to really solidify this decision in their heart. And Lord, sometimes making the decision may seem difficult, but the living of it is impossible if we're not walking with you. Dear Lord, help our families. Strengthen us. Allow us to be a light to the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.